Well, we've come to the end of Daniel chapter 7, and just before we move into chapter 8, I wanted to take a look at some things, just what happened in chapter 7, what happened with Nebuchadnezzar, what happened with Belshazzar, and Nebuchadnezzar, quite a guy, went through a lot of things, a lot of miraculous stuff happened in his life, a lot of drastic stuff happened in his life, and he finally turned and acknowledged God. And then Belshazzar came along after him, same position, knowing everything about Nebuchadnezzar, and had the same opportunity to believe that Nebuchadnezzar did through Nebuchadnezzar's witness and his own witness that God gave to Belshazzar, and he chose not to believe. And then coming off the heels of what Wally preached so well last week from 2 Peter 3:9, it's God's will that none should perish. So I wanted to look at faith. Why is it some people believe and some don't believe? And what does it take to believe? So just in conclusion, to end Belshazzar's rule and his life with complete respect, but also with complete acknowledgement. Revelation chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. And so as we saw that Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar were a type of the Antichrist, a type of the beast. And so here is the end of both Belshazzar and the beast that's to come. We won't be here for that. We've talked about that. So, where does faith come from to believe? If you look at Romans 12:3, it says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, this was written to believers in Rome, but they didn't become believers through their own merit. It was God who dealt to each one of them a measure of faith. It was what they did with it. But each one is able to believe. God sees to that. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 15, if you want to just turn there and follow along. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 15. We'll be coming back to this parable a few times through the sermon. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each one according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." Please don't read these verses as though some people are more talented than others. I've heard it preached that way, and it's wrong. It's wrong. God is not dependent upon how talented we are to do anything. God gives different people different abilities, absolutely. But he gives all people the ability to have faith. The word talent, as Jesus used, was a measure of weight. A talent of silver weighed just under 94.5 pounds, and a talent of gold weighed 189 pounds. The faith of a person, you see, is much weightier. It's a much weightier matter to God than how talented people are or pretend to be. Faith is more important to God. God has given just the right amount of faith according to each person's ability to make good use of it. Their ability is simply their appetite for relationship with Christ through faith. How's your appetite? How's your appetite? Because right now we have as much of God in our lives as we want. He does not violate our free will. And we get what we want. But the end of that might not be good. It might not be good. Faith doesn't make a person want to please God. It makes it possible for them to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." No wonder it's so important to God that we be dependent upon Him, our Creator, because He did not create us to be independent of Him. That's our idea. We're runaways. We're orphans. We're dead in our trespasses and sins because we ran away from our Creator. And that's why people sometimes they come to that dead end in their life, because they realize something deep inside is telling them it's not right. It's not right. Something's not right. And they live with this gnawing until it gets right. How diligently are we seeking God? Where is He on our priority list in life? If He's not at the top of our list, He should be, because we're at the top of His list. We're at the top of His priority list. That's from Matthew 10. Let's have a look at that. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus speaking again. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 25, maybe keep your finger on that page, verses 16 to 19, speaking more into this parable. "Then they who had received the 5 talents and went and traded with them and made another 5 talents, and likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also, but he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." So the accounts were settled. But notice, wait a minute, there's more to read here. Why did I put that note in there? Too soon. Let's read on a bit. "After a long time, those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, and look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' And it was the same with the one who had received 2. But the one who had received 1, to what he had, it was taken away." The accounts were settled. And notice that faith is not exhausted through use. Faith is not exhausted through use. It actually multiplies every time it's used. I wish I had a credit card like that. It's multiplying every time it's used. And not multiplied so that we can do more for God, but so that we can know more of God. We're not human doings. We're human beings, and we should be humans being in the presence of God, living in the presence of God, not humans doing things to try to get favor from God. If you need to repent, repent. But God grants His favor through grace to everyone. He's given everyone a measure of faith. The more we know of God, the more likely it is the unbelievers will be able to see God for themselves. A believable believer. Oh, people, this world is looking for God, seriously. And when they look at church-going people and often don't see God, it's sad. It's sad. They're looking for a picture of God. Can you show me? Can you show me God? They're running around on the streets. Can you show me God? I'm looking for God. Does anybody show me what God looks like? I had a lady ask me one time. She'd just given her life to Christ, and then she phoned me all panicked about a week later, and she said, "I'm scared." And I said, "Why? What are you scared of?" I said, "I just give my life to God, and I don't even know what He looks like." So the Holy Spirit revealed to me to show her Galatians 5, 22 and 23, along in there, the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These are God's attributes. I said, "That's who you've given your life to." And she felt a whole lot better. I guess so. It is the celebration of faith in God that gives people, or gives Him, great joy. And the reason he invites us into his joy, you can see that in Matthew 5, verses 21 and verse 23, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Not because we did something he's pleased with, but that we exercised faith that are going to cause more people to believe. We had believable faith, and that gave him great joy. And then he says, enter into my joy. We do a lot of things to make ourselves happy, but if you want the joy of the Lord, that's where it is. Living by faith. Trusting God for everything, every place, all the time, especially when you find it impossible. Sadly, the one who chose not to live by faith, but kept his faith private and hidden, lost it all. Matthew 25, 28 to 30. And this is Jesus' words about the one who went and hid his gift of faith. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But of him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. Just got to read on a bit further. It's not quite on. It's not enough scripture on your little page or on the wall there. It said, from verse 30 on, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. Therefore, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered. Okay. So it is in this light then that we look at Revelation 16 verses 7 to 11 and realize that the Lord God Almighty, whose judgments are true and righteous, would have forgiven. Bear with me now, you'll probably want to fall off your chair at this one, but just consider its possibility. You will realize that the Almighty, whose judgments are true and righteous, would have forgiven the Antichrist and his followers if they had repented. But as it is written, and we just read, they chose not to repent. But the offer is there for every person as long as they are breathing. It's there. God presented Nebuchadnezzar with the opportunity to repent, and he did. He gave Belshazzar the same opportunity, and he did not. It's not that all people can't believe. It's that most people won't. We say we can't. It's not true. When people say they can't believe, no, it's that they won't. They've chosen not to. All have been given a measure of faith. It's there. But many choose self-reliance over faith in Christ. I made that choice myself until I was 26 years old. In so doing, they squander God's gift of faith in preference of personal glory, personal desire, and live a pathetic existence they try to pass off as life. It's not life. It's not the life that God would have us, not the life that God has given in Christ. We have all been given a measure of faith. Each person knows as much of Christ as they want to know. Knowing Christ is not simply accumulating Bible knowledge either. To know Christ is to know God. And to know God is to be conformed into the image of His Son daily. Daily. Wow. I got saved when I was 26, and I've been saved every day since. And I get saved every day since. So I don't go back and make more prayers. I don't begging at the altar for salvation. But just in my life of making mistakes and not getting things right and all the rest of it, God saves me every day. Every day. Each person's faith grows or decreases depending on what they've done and are doing with Christ in their life as their life. Christ is your life. And it grows or decreases in the midst of the circumstances that God has given and is giving. Why do you think there's some things left in the world that don't work right? We'll need faith in God to get through it. Why is your life not perfect? Because that way it leaves God a place in your life. You'll call out to Him when your life isn't perfect. When your life is perfect, you're happy with it. There's no calling out to God. No reason. We're created to have faith in God. We're going to leave that there for today. We'll get into chapter 8 next week of the book of Daniel.